Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
But I want to talk about men, all the heroes in the house, of actually deciding not just to be a hero, but to raise heroes as well. And I've actually found this really quite hard to put together, because if there's something that I long for in my life, is I would help people to become heroes. We spent most of our early years at working with young people. When I was at uni, much to my surprise, somebody asked me to lead a Bible study. And then when we got married, we were the ripe old age of 21 each. And straight away, we got stuck into youth work. And we've been, in fact, some of the musicians here on stage are our old young people when they were barely teenagers, in fact, at the time. And we've really enjoyed and been passionate about raising new people, raising new leaders up. I think it's one of the greatest gifts that God has given you and me, is to raise up the next generation to become amazing people and see them achieve things that we could never achieve and do things that we could never do, because in different fields, in different areas, and also to dream that they would do greater things than we would, even in the fields, in the areas that we are skilled in and good at. And it's scriptural. If you think in the Bible that over and over again, we see people, leaders, heroes are training new heroes and leaders to go and become those heroes in every area of their life. If you think about Barnabas, before St. Paul was St. Paul and famous and big and wrote all his letters and everything and did all the mission journeys, he was trained by a guy called Barnabas. Barnabas looked at Paul and said, "Paul, you need training. I need to help you become a hero." And Barnabas poured his life. He took Paul on some missionary journeys. And he trained, he helped Paul become a hero. And most of us read the letters, we remember Paul. But in Paul's background, there were some people, can I suggest, even more important? Even though they're not famous, but they gave the life to help somebody else become better than they were and do the job that God had called. So that Paul became a hero. Paul, once he kind of leaned, he was doing stuff. He trained Timothy and Titus. And Silas, Barnabas, went off after he had Paul. He took John Mark and others. And in the Bible, there's all these people that are forever trained. Jesus picked 12 and 72 to train and invest his life in. Why? Because Jesus was interested in helping people become heroes in their own right. And I just want to say that God gives you that gift as well. For some of you, God will want you to train a few. For others, tens or dozens or hundreds. For some of you sat in this room, God might give you the gifts to train thousands. That's what I'm believing for, that some of our younger guys will go on and train thousands of heroes in the years to come. And in one sense, that would be a joy for Michelle and I to see that. And for you guys who get involved in their lives, for you to go like, I had a part to play in helping them become a hero and do what God has called them to do. It's my passion, and all of us are called to do this. It's not a matter of having physical children. You don't need to have physical children to have spiritual children. And if you're a guy in the house, can I just say, it should be your joy and privilege to help other people's children, other people's young people, become the hero that God always intended them to do. We need to do it appropriately, obviously, because we're not their parents. But it's still our job. It's our privilege to help them become all that God wants them to be. It begins with our own children. And I have three. And Michelle and I committed helping them become not just our physical children, but also our spiritual children. And can I just say to all you mums and dads out there, and for all you prospective mums and dads, me and Michelle will never do it on our own. We have other heroes that we know of who are helping us to raise our our children's heroes. I mean, Uncle Andy and Auntie Chrissy are there for our children. And often if they're stuck or they're struggling, then we'll say, well, go and see Uncle Andy or Auntie Chrissy. They'll go and see them and they'll give their time and effort to them. I mean, our two boys, is Stephen in the room? Stephen over there. Stephen's he's just invested in our two boys so much. He's given time and energy and money. Why? Because he believes in them and he wants to help them become the heroes in their life. And it does start in the family, right? But parents, don't do it all yourself. Find some people who you believe and trust will help your kids to flourish and become everything that God has made them to be. But it shouldn't stop at our family. Our world should expand. We should be looking around in the bride of Christ in the church and saying, who else can I help? Who else can I come alongside to help them be lifted up and become the hero that they've been created to be? But not just in church life, though I think it should be our kind of secondary call after our family life, but at work or even beyond. Constantly thinking, how can I help people, that hero be released in them? Like I said, to be a hero is great, but to create new heroes is a greater task that God has given us. I have some practical stuff, right? But if I'm really honest, I want you to write the practical stuff and remember it and put it into practice. But if you can just grab hold of tonight this one thing, that it's your privilege and joy to help people become the heroes that God has already made them to be. If you can get that and walk out with that, I'm kind of done. But, well, I could be done, I suppose. It's 10 past. I could kind of finish. But I want to give you some practical helps on how to do it, because it is a passion of mine and it kind of flows out of me. So I want to kind of explain, I guess, a bit from my heart. It's why it's been a difficult message to put together. Because this isn't just any ordinary message. This is something that's right in the center of me, okay? So the first thing I think that we need to do is really be a great, what I've called a general example. To be a great general example. Everywhere and all of the time. I think this is the simplest and the hardest thing to do. You see, my children see me in every situation. So they see me when I'm on form and I'm doing amazing. And they see me when I'm in my lowest ebb and really can't be bothered by anything. Yeah. But I'm still their example. And actually, I want to encourage you to really think, you know, my general example is super important for the people who are, for the new generation that are coming up, who are watching me. And you see, and just so you know, just because you might be a bad example in private doesn't mean that that example will not show itself in public. Because I've put, you see, that which is seen is important, but then there's that which is implied. What goes on in your private world, it comes out. It kind of spills out. You don't mean it to be, but it comes out. And therefore, we need to work on our general example in every area if we're going to create heroes and not give up, right? Some days you'll have shocking days, right? You just will. You look back, that was a shocking day. You've been a Christian for 40 years and it's still a shocking day. You look back and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that today. But you did. And you have two choices. You can give up and say, I'll have another shocking day tomorrow. Or you can say, right, that was a shocking day. Fortunately, Jesus died on the cross. I'm saved, forgiven and holy and pure and restored and perfect and all the rest, which is true. So I'm going to start again tomorrow with a clean sheet, because you do. And tomorrow, I'm going to be an amazing general example. And we're going to put that aside to experience. I want to encourage you to do that. Because you will have shocking days or shocking hours or shocking periods of time, even a shocking few weeks. But you always have the decision in Jesus Christ to know that you are perfect and pure and holy in his sight. And you can have a clean shot starting in this moment and go forward. That helps me, right? It helps me massively to be a good general example. And in this general example, I think that we need to be really careful that not only do we think about our family, but we also think about the community that we live in and have influence over. You see, what's right for your family is not necessarily right for the community, for the bride of Christ that you're part of. In fact, we can accidentally make great decisions in our families, but make terrible decisions at the same time of our example for the community. We can actually do it the other way around. We can make great decisions for the community, but terrible decisions for our family. And I would counsel you to really work hard at thinking, how can I be a great example for my family and for the community at the same time? And can I say, it's a really difficult call. I have some people in my life who I love, and they feed into my life, and they will share. Ed, are you sure that was a good call in your life for your family? And I appreciate that. We need people in our lives to help us make those decisions and not get stressed when somebody challenges us from our position of what we count as family decisions and community-wide decisions, but actually welcome their advice and input. And so that's great, because I want to be a great general example in every area of my life, as I know you do, because I know you long for that as well. And the other thing about being a great general example, and this is key, I think, for all of us, maybe especially for parents, is we need to think long-term, not short-term. And I'm talking 20 years long-term, not even 2 or 3 years. Now, my children are growing up. One of them goes off to uni, one of them started college, and the other one goes to secondary school. But we've tried, ever since they were little, to think long-term. But it doesn't matter if you've never thought about long-term consequences of your actions. Today's the day you can begin to think about the long-term consequences of what you're doing. Is what you're doing going to long-term help them understand who you are, the heart you want to put in, the values you want to put in them? Remember, as parents, we're trying to raise children that are independent, who are capable, who are confident, who love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And lots of other things as well besides, right? We're not really trying to make them our friends. And in the modern world, it's the same spiritually. If we're trying to help spiritual children go forward, we're not trying to help them become our friends. We're trying to help them to become dependent on God, trusting in his gifts and his skills and his power and his resources. And whether they like us or not, in the end, doesn't matter, as long as they love Jesus and go and fulfill everything that God has put in their heart. Because that's what we're called to do as spiritual parents, so to speak. The second thing I want to say is this, a great general example, but we also need to have and think through particular teaching and mentoring. I want to read a couple of passages of the Bible. So these are from the Apostle Paul. Remember, he's been taught, he's been mentored by Barnabas and others, and then he's got some his own kind of spiritual children, and he's been busy appointing them to look after various missionary churches that he's planted. And I just want to read a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is Paul's advice. He's still mentoring, he's still thinking through how to help Timothy's spiritual son do an awesome job. And this is what I love this. It says, so 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. That's kind of a nice, broad, tough start, right? Just remember, Jesus will judge you as well as everybody else, but just to remind you who you're serving. And in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Man, I could spend all night just unpacking that, right? Yeah. An amazing little bit of teaching there. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But you keep your head in all situations. Isn't that wise advice for all of us, right? Endure hardship. When things are going tough, keep going. Yeah. Do the work of an evangelist. Make sure you're reaching people for Jesus. And discharge all the duties of your ministry. Had Paul still mentoring, still directing, still loving his spiritual son and helping him. But he's thinking about it. This is direct, personal teaching, encouragement to help Timothy become the hero, the amazing person that he's always been. I haven't got time to read out, but if I had time, I'd read out Titus 1, verse 5 to 16. Again, some more amazing teaching from Paul. If we're going to help our spiritual sons and daughters become the heroes that they were always designed to be, we need to think about what we're doing and saying, and on purpose, help them. Teaching them verbally, practically showing them how to do things, explaining things, correcting them, disciplining them as time goes on. These are the works of heroes as they help other heroes become the heroes that they were designed to do. All of them are what we're called and encouraged to do, not just by Paul, but by the Holy Spirit as Paul speaks through us in his letter. The third thing I want to say is this, that we need as heroes to be the most encouraging and belief-driven heroes we can in the next generation. Hebrews 13 says that we should encourage each other daily. Daily. Can I say I'm up for that? If you all want to text me every day and say how amazing I am, that would be awesome. But just imagine if 100 people text you every day and say, you're amazing, you're going to do awesome today. How would you feel? You'd feel like $1 million, right? All those people believing you, all those people encouraging you. You two feel like you're walking on air. It would also be quite crazy because your phone would be busy and you'd have like 100 messages to read every day and you'd get nothing else done, right? But wouldn't it be great if we could be a people that encourage and believe in the heroes that are coming up after us? You see, I believe the new generation will do greater things than we have done. I know they're crazy and they do crazy stuff. And as I get older, I think they don't know much. But I believe that if we can believe in them and encourage them, that they will do even greater things than we have done. You see, God believes in you. He believes in me, despite our failings, despite all that we get up to. And God calls us to do the same. The fourth thing I want to say is this. We need to invest time and money. I actually found it a joy to invest in new young leaders. It's something that I actually look forward to. And I would happily pour my life out. Some of you don't, but can I really encourage you to do it? And you do it mainly not by spending lots of extra time, but involving them your world now. You know, when I do trips and stuff, if I can, I bring some young leaders with me so that we can just hang out together. So it's not extra time, it's time I've already got, but I just include them in my world in that process. And it's amazing if you think about it, how you can involve people in your world even while you're doing your world, and they will grow and develop and learn from you just as you do life together with them. But it will cost you something. I mean, bless Stephen, he's forever taking our kids out for food. And he never asked for any money, which is great. Carry on, Stephen, it's fantastic. But it will cost you some. If you're serious about helping people become heroes, it will affect your wallet, your purse. It really will. And it should do. It should do. There should be a cost. I absolutely believe if you would invest both time and money, that God's blessing will far exceed any cost that you have. But don't worry about that bit. Just invest the cost into. And fifthly, and this is really important, especially in our world where our culture, where I is so important. I want to be happy. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be free. I have, my parents here. My parents are here, are they? My parents, when we started Valley Church, came to Michelle and I and said, Ed, we believe God has called us to come and help you. And I went, well, I'm not sure you'll like it. And do you know what my dad said? No, you're probably right. And he said, because you see, my dad likes hymns. My dad likes things the same. And we change songs like every week almost, right? We have loud music. We have flashing lights. My dad likes open spaces like windows and daylight. We're rather lacking that around here, right? You see, my parents decided this, that it's not about their preference. It's actually about preferring others and what they need above themselves to help the new generation of heroes, you guys, to flourish and excel at being what God has called you and created you to be. And I want to suggest that giving up self-preference does not start when you hit 60 or 70 or some old age that you might have in your mind. It actually starts when you're 17 or 18. It starts at the very beginning of your journey, saying, I'm not going to live my life for my self-preference. I live my life for the preference of others to help them become and achieve all that God has placed in their heart. And in those moments when you do that, be the most powerful moments in the person's life that you're trying to help, but also in your life. And I'm utterly convinced that so many Christians miss out on what God has for them because they think it's all about them and their future. Was actually God saying, if you will just give your life to others, then I will pour everything in your life. And actually, you and your future will happen because you've given up your future for other people, because that's the way the kingdom of God works. I hope you understood that. That was a bit convoluted. But I honestly believe that. And for Michelle and I, that's what we do. I mean, Michelle loves people, right? There's nothing better for Michelle than after a service to go around and talk to people, have 15 people around for lunch, another 15 people around after supper, and, you know, just people. I love people. You're all amazing. Yeah. I have decided that my preference for people will not dictate how I live my life. I've decided what will help other people become heroes. That's what will dictate my life. That has its toll on me, for sure. But you see, you need to decide that actually your life will be given, sacrificed for others, trusting as you do that, that God will bless you as well as blessing those that you're seeking to bless through what you've just done. And you will discover as you do this amazing thing. I love what Paul writes to Timothy and to Titus, and I'm sure he wrote to others of his spiritual children. I just want to read out how he introduces his letters. So in 1 Timothy 1 verse 2, he says this to Timothy, my true son in the faith. And then in the second letter, he says this to Timothy, my dear son. And there's a tenderness and a love, a father's heart towards these children. He does the same to Titus as well. He says to Titus, my true son in our common faith. That's in verse 4. To be a hero of great importance, but to enable others to become the hero is of greater importance. And Michelle and I have been involved in doing this for a long time, and it's been funny today looking around at people involved on the stage. I mean, Pastor Dave, I knew Pastor Dave when he was just a whippersnapper, right? Just a young man, not really even a teenager. And he's my spiritual son. And the weird thing is that Dave has opened more doors for me than I could. Isn't that amazing? And he's not the only one. He's not the only one. We've had one of our tunes on UCB radio this last week. Did you know that? One of our tunes, one of our brand new tunes. And that's through another spiritual son who opened the door there. Yeah. Is tune not the right word? Song. A song. And you see, this is the beautiful thing about the kingdom of God. If you will give yourself to help others become heroes, to become all that God has created them to be, if you do that, then your world will expand exponentially. Because suddenly, it's not just you, it's you and all those who you love, all your spiritual children who love you and believe in you. And actually, when they get a chance, will not pay you back. That's not what the kingdom of God's about. But they'll just be your children for you. Because they love you and they want to say thank you to all that you've done in their life. Church, to be a hero is a great thing and something that we should all do. To invest in and help others to become heroes. I want to suggest, church, is an even greater thing.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.